Mark chapter 10, verse 31 to 34. Let me just remind you that Mark is showing us who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do. It's about the kingdom. Firstly, he showed us for about 8 chapters who is the king and what kind of king. And then in more detail, then in the next 8 chapters, he shows us the work of the king. What did the king come to do? And his great desire is that we also will believe in this king and we will join his kingdom and we will serve him on it. Now where we've reached here in chapter 10, well, you can see in verse 32, where's he going? Because they were on their way up to Jerusalem. And actually this is the final time, this is the final journey, because Jesus is now on his way to die. And that's seen too in the words which we've read, that he's to be betrayed, condemned, verse 33. Verse 34, he's to be mocked, he's to be spat on, to be flogged, and to be killed. And 3 days later, to rise. Now perhaps you'll be thinking, haven't we read this already? Haven't we heard these words already? Well, actually it's the 3rd or 4th time that Jesus is telling his disciples what he's about to do, about the coming cross, about the coming rejection and death. So if it seems familiar, well, yes, it is familiar. But God's word shows us not only how great Jesus is, but sometimes, often, how slow his disciples are, and how many times we need to hear the same things. And actually, when Luke tells us about these words, he adds something. He tells us that even this time the disciples did not understand. It was hidden from them. Now will you understand this morning? Will you see what kind of king and why it was so necessary for him to die in such a way? I want us to begin in the place where we left off last time. That's in verse 31. And this verse tells us that Jesus' way is very different to our way. So remember that, please. Jesus' way is what? It's not our way. Very different to it. And he spoke those words after sending away the rich young ruler. There was that young man who came to him, a powerful man, a wealthy man, and who wanted to join the kingdom. But Jesus sent him away sad. Why? Why would he not want such a man in his kingdom? Well, he did want him, but only if he paid the price. Only if he was willing to abandon his love of this present world, to take up his cross and to follow Jesus. And that man was not willing, so Jesus sent him away. But who is in Jesus' kingdom? Well, one like Peter, who was a poor fisherman, but who had left everything to follow him. And that's the way of Jesus' kingdom. The first, many who are first, verse 31, will be last. There's many who are high, many doing well in this life. They're last as far as God is concerned. And if you remember the rich young ruler, that means they're not even in God's kingdom. You know, they're sent away. In this life they have power, in this life they have some position, they have some money, but as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, they are nowhere at all. Your money, your achievements, your fame or success in this life, it gets you nowhere in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is very different. What do you have today? What do you have now? Well, it doesn't matter for the kingdom of God. Your privileges in this life, they don't open a different way to you. They don't get you a higher position in the kingdom of God. No, like Peter, the poor fisherman, like all the true followers of Jesus, you must humble yourself You must repent of your sins. You must trust Jesus Christ alone. And like a little child, you must begin to serve him. That's a challenge, because people think that God should owe them something, but he owes you nothing. Have you humbled yourself? The way up in God's kingdom is down. Have you humbled yourself like a little child? Well, there's a comfort in verse 31 also. The last shall be first. Perhaps in this present life, you are the lowest of all. Perhaps in this present life, you have nothing. You have no position. You have no status. You have no followers. That doesn't matter either. Because if you've come to Jesus, then the Son of God, he dearly loves you. Then the Father himself gave his only one to die for your sins. And you can be a great servant of God in this life. And when I say a great servant of God, I'm not talking about getting a Mercedes or getting many thousands of followers who will all speak your name. When I say a great servant of God, I mean you can do great things for Jesus in spreading his word, spreading his truth, living for him in his way. I want to show you some verses from the letter of Corinthians. So if you go on after the Gospels and Acts and Romans, you'll come to Corinthians. And in chapter 1 of this letter to the Corinthians, Mlangaria Kwanza, Namastari, Ishirina Sita Mpaka Ishirini Na Tisa, Tunaweza Ku Ona, and Jia La Mungu. We can see what God has chosen for his people. Says, verse 26, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. That's God's way. God won't allow the rich and the powerful and the successful of this world to bring the true blessings. He won't allow the kingdom of God to come through the strength of man. God's way is that nobody will be able to boast before him. So please remember that Jesus' way is not our way. Na ya pili, tu tazame kitu kingine kimocha. Yesu alijua vitu vyote. As he went to Jerusalem, he knew everything that was going to happen to him. Now verse 32, you can see the disciples are astonished on all those coming with them, waliogopa. Lakini mistari ish selateni na tatu, na selateni na ane, tunaweza kuona kwamba Yesu alijua kila kitu ambacho, everything that would happen. And it's in quite some detail. You can see he knew how he would come into the hands of the chief priests and teachers. How would he come? Well, he'd be betrayed. He was by Judas. And what would they do with him? Well, they would condemn him to death. But they wouldn't kill him. No, they would hand him over to the Gentiles for that. And the Gentiles, they'd not just kill him, but first they would mock him, that is to abuse him, to make fun of him. They would spit on him, they would flog him, and then they would kill him. And not only would he rise, but he can tell you on which very day he would rise. After 3 days. Jesus went to Jerusalem knowing exactly what was going to happen to him. Please do not think that the death of Jesus was a terrible accident. Do not say, oh, what a tragedy. Oh, he was such a good man. And what did they do? They killed him. Oh, what would have happened if he could have had another 5 years, another 10 years, another 20 years in the world? No. Look at verse 32. Jesus was leading the way. And as he spoke these things, he knew in detail what would be happening. And this makes it quite clear to us that Jesus was in control. Now the Bible tells us very straightforwardly that these things were planned. They were even planned from eternity. There are no surprises with God. There are no accidents with God. What's happening in your life this week? What happened to you this morning or yesterday? There's no surprises with God. And there's no accidents with God. Even such a tragedy as the death of God's Son was fully part of his plan. Now, tuna weza kuona vitu hivi, tukienda kitabu cha matendo, so the book of Acts, and look at chapter 2, and verse 23. Hapa, apostle Petro, anahubiri, siku ya Pentecost, na anaongea ya kuhusu hii. He says, Acts 2.23, says, this man, that's Jesus, he was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. Was it wicked to crucify Jesus? Yes, it was. But was God surprised? No, it was his set purpose and his foreknowledge. Na tutazame pia mlango ya 4 na 20 na 7, and that is verse 27 of chapter 4. Na tena wanafunzi wanaomba na wanasema vitu hivi. They say, indeed, Herod, so he's Herod's the ruler of one of the provinces, a Gentile ruler, Pontius Pilate, another Gentile ruler. They met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, so both Jews and Gentiles, in this city to conspire, that's a plot, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. So the Jews and the Gentiles, they plotted evil against Jesus. But what did they do? They did what God had decided beforehand should happen. Now I ask, what kind of man knows he's going to be betrayed, rejected, to suffer and to die, and then he leads the way to go there? What kind of man knows, oh, so if I go to that place in Kitali, they'll get me and they'll kill me. And yet he says, right, let's go. Well, it could be a man who's mad, someone who's lost his mind. Or it's a man who is a hero and he knows he's going to achieve something. He knows he's going to do something far bigger than his death. He's going to win some prize so great that even his own suffering and dying is worth it. That's what Jesus did. When he set his face to go to the cross, he was doing it because he saw our salvation. Because he saw here was the price that would be paid. Because he knew that God would raise him from the dead and that he would make him the Savior of all who would come to God through him. Jesus knew all that was happening. This was no accident. This was the way to save us from the curse that Adam, our father, had brought upon us. Jesus, he did what? He knew all things. Yatatu, Okay, Jesus' suffering. So what have we seen? We've seen Jesus' way, it's not our way. We've seen Jesus' knowledge, he knew all things. And thirdly, Jesus' suffering. Kwa sababu, tukiona mistari ishirini na tatu na ishirini na nne, neno la Yesu, vitu vikubwa zaidi ni nini? The thing he most speaks of is his own suffering. There's his betrayal by a friend, being handed over, being condemned, being mocked, being spat upon, being flogged or beaten, being killed. Great suffering. The Bible speaks of the sufferings of Jesus in detail. The prophet Isaiah spoke of them, that I offered my back to those who beat me. I offered my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and from spitting. In another place, the prophet Isaiah says, he was despised. He was rejected by men. We consider him stricken by God, smitten by him, afflicted. He was pierced. He was crushed. Speaks of his wounds, of being oppressed, of being afflicted. All the words you can find to describe pain and sorrow. Any word you can think of, they're piled together to describe the sufferings of Jesus. If you look at the sufferings of Jesus, you can see how much you've sinned against God. Because there's only one reason why Jesus suffered. It was because you and I sinned. He'd done no evil of his own. There was nothing in him deserving any punishment. But he carried our load. He suffered in our place for our sins, taking the punishment that we deserved. We deserved this curse of God and this rejection. He was cursed for us. And who was he? In verse 33, he uses the name which he most often gave to himself. He called himself the Son of Man. And if you think about those words, the Son of Man, what really does that mean? He's saying that he is the man. He is a man amongst men. That never was there a man like this one. He is the King of men. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He is the ultimate man. He is the one who's come as the new Adam, the new leader of the human race. And he's all that a man should be. He's holy. He loves God. He serves God with everything. He's everything we should have been. And yet this one suffers more than any man. This man has the whole curse placed upon him. This man is rejected by Jew, by Gentile, and even cursed by God when he dies on the cross. And so you can see then how much God loves you if you're a Christian. If you're in Christ, see how much God loves you because he gave his perfect son. He gave his beloved son. Some of us have sons, some of us have many sons, but I think if I had 10 sons, I wouldn't offer up one of them for my enemies. Would you? If you had 20 sons, how many of them would you offer up to die for your enemies? Yet God had one beloved son, and he gave him up for us all who believe in him. See how much God loves you. For our sins, he gave Jesus to pay the price. Now, yamwisho, Yesu peke yake. So what have we seen? We've seen Jesus' way is not our way. We've seen Jesus knew all things. We've seen Jesus' sufferings, the price he paid. Now let's see that it was Jesus alone. What was the attitude of the disciples? Verse 32. They were astonished. And those who were coming, they were amazed. Of course they were. They knew there was danger in Jerusalem. They knew how much the Pharisees hated Jesus. Indeed, a time before, they had taken up stones to kill him. This was the seat of his enemies. This was the place to go for danger. Now every Jewish man, he went to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. And Jesus was going to the Passover feast. He was going himself to be the Passover lamb by his death on the cross. But we learn this in another gospel that he was going early. He didn't just go secretly to appear right at the last minute. But he was going early, and he was going with purpose. He's striding ahead. What does it say in verse 32? He's leading the way. But they, you can picture them. They're hanging back. They're afraid. They're amazed that such a thing should happen. Surely his words amaze them too as he speaks them. Surely again as he says these things, they're startled and afraid. It's hard, isn't it, to work alone. It's hard to do any task alone. God is good to us, and many of us, he's given family, he's given a husband or a wife, he's given children. Or in your place of work, you have others doing the same job. If you have some great task before you, what if it's a hard task? What if it's a painful task? What if you'll be rejected? What if many will fight you? What if it'll bring you trouble and suffering? Then to do it alone, how hard that is. Yet Jesus, he went into the fight with Satan alone. He went into the fight with death and with hell alone. He went to carry our sins alone. And how hard. We can never imagine what that thing would be like. He had none who were with him in heart as he went. As they followed, yes, they had faith. But they followed at a distance. See what a great Saviour you have. There are no others. There's none like Jesus. Trust him alone. But as he spoke these hard words, he gave them a great promise, a great encouragement. He said, 3 days later, he will rise. And my sufferings are very near now, he said. But my victory is very near also. Just wait a little time, my friends. Just keep trusting me a little longer. Don't fall away. There's going to be a little trial, but don't fall away. Stay with me. Because soon the kingdom will come on the earth. In 3 days I'll rise. I'll send my spirit. You'll know the great blessing of God. And my gospel will go to the nations. Now the time of our testing, it's short. It really is. The Bible often uses these words, a little time, a little time. Just wait upon the Lord. Wait for God. Take strength from him. Keep going. Don't fall away. It might seem long to you. But when you come to the end of it and look back, you'll say, oh, it was short. Oh, if I trusted God just a little bit more in that time. Jesus has led the way. Now I ask you then 3 questions. Have your eyes been opened? See, the disciples, they still didn't understand. And when Jesus spoke of the cross, they were still afraid. Have your eyes been opened? Have you seen God's way is not our way? That we need to go the way of the cross if we're going to go to glory. You can't have your glory now. You can't serve both God and this world. You can't please yourself and please Jesus. You can't both be faithful to God and take the easy way of sinning. But it's for a little time. And one day we too will rise with Jesus. Have your eyes been opened? Are you saying, I must have glory now. I must make it easy now. Or will you go the way of the cross? Jesus paid for all your sins. But he gives us different crosses in this life. Will you go that way? Are you ready for that? Now, if you're following Jesus, I ask you, secondly, do you have any friend in the world like this? Do you have one who went alone to save you? No support, no helpers. Do you have a friend who would be spat on, who would be beaten, who would be betrayed, who would be flogged, and who would be killed for your sake? Do you have a friend like that? How do you treat that friend? Do you obey his commandments? Do you honor his word? Are you trying to make him known to others? Or are you keeping it quiet? No, surely if someone else in this room, surely if there was someone who did such a thing for you, someone who did what Jesus did, surely we'd all know. We wouldn't be able to keep you quiet. How do you treat your friend who died for you? What are you giving in your life for him? But thirdly and finally, ask it, do you know the way is hard? Do you really believe that? Do you think if you come to Christ, then you'll find an easy way? You won't. The Master, he made a path for us, and he opened the door for us. But it's the way of the cross. Resurrection comes after death. Glory comes after suffering. Are you really convinced? Do you think that you'll have to leave God because he's given you a hard way? Well, he never told you anything else. This is a world of sin. The only easy way in this life is sin. But that way leads to destruction. The broad path leads to death, said Jesus. The narrow way leads to life. So you need to be sure. You need to be sure so that you can walk in the way knowing what that way is. Well, here's Jesus. He has his way. He knows all things. He suffered so much for us. He did it alone. How much we should love him then and serve him. Will you do that this week?